Good day to you and welcome to AM PM Sports here on ESPN1005.com. I am Aaron Moret as we continue on throughout Super Bowl week. We'll talk about some things regarding the Super Bowl. You won't believe one opponent of Richard Sherman's today on Media Day said that Richard Sherman is not in the top five cornerbacks in the NFL today. A little bit out of his mind? Yeah, probably. This guy is. We'll tell you who that is coming up a little bit. As always, we will take your tweets at AaronESPN on Twitter, at AaronESPN105, at AaronESPN105. Asked an interesting question to you, and we'll see if we get time to get to that today on the program, because we are stacked with a whole bunch of stuff here. We will be lucky to have enough time, so we'll have to jump right into it again at AaronESPN. All right, first thing that I want to get out of the way, because it's the worst news of the day, or depending on how you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, maybe it's the best news of the day. The Bucks lose to the Clippers yesterday, 114-86. Now, before I get into this, I have to tell you that the Bucks are 8-36 and have lost by 25 or more points three times in the last five games. And at one point in the last five, they've been down by as many as 39 points in the fourth quarter. This comes, the latest loss, after Coach Larry Drew chastised his team over the weekend, saying that the Bucks basically packed it in a 112-87 home blowout loss to the Atlanta Hawks. Drew over the weekend, if you didn't see this story, Fox Sports Wisconsin has it covered, and Andrew Grumman does a nice job with Fox Sports Wisconsin. Larry Drew, after the game, said this was a totally, totally unacceptable performance. Here we are in the situation that we are in, and my biggest concern is, do we still have any fire in the belly? Here's the problem. The Bucks are halfway through their season with an 8-36 record, and they've basically packed it in at the halfway mark. You know what the real kicker is, though? Now, this is going to disappoint some, and to many, it's not going to matter. The real kicker in the situation is not that the Bucks have packed it in. It's not that their record is so poor, but it's that nobody even cares. How many people are outraged by the fact that the Bucks didn't play hard over the past weekend? But just a pathetic showing this season for the Bucks. And I'll tell you what, I've heard some people say that they feel bad for Larry Drew and the lack of talent that he has. I don't know how much talent is on this roster. But if you're going to feel bad for Drew, and I guess a small portion of me does feel bad for him, but come on. This is a guy who took the job. He knew what the Bucks have been like for the last decade. He knew what he was getting into. Now, maybe as a coach, he thought that he would be able to come in and turn things around for the team, which obviously is not happening. They're going nowhere fast. Though they are getting closer every day to the number one draft pick, and their chances are increasing dramatically. But to say that you feel sorry for Larry Drew or for O.J. Mayo or for Caron Butler, all these guys who came in, I don't buy it. I don't feel bad for them, because they chose to come to Milwaukee. But it's just pathetic. Yesterday, once again last night, the Bucks losing. I know that their opponent was very worthy, you know, as they take on the Clippers. They're one of the best teams in the West. But still, the Bucks' leading scorer yesterday, Ersan Ilyasova, had 16 points. But don't worry, he says he thought he did a really good job in the game on Blake Griffin before he got in foul trouble. And hopefully everyone else on the Bucks has some good, old-fashioned self-esteem with their 8-36 record. I'll tell you something. Nobody on this Bucks team is doing anything. No one. Besides packing it in. Yeah, if you did miss that over the weekend, it was not pretty. The Hawks are a better team than the Bucks normally. However, they were losing a couple of key players or missing a couple of key players in that game. Larry Drew said about the team's effort over the weekend in which they packed it in. He said, "I'm disappointed in everybody, myself included. We just are not playing hard enough. I don't care what the situation is. Again, with me included, we're paid to play hard. I'm paid to coach this team to the best of my ability and get these guys ready to play. This is not a time to make up excuses for what has happened." So here you have the Bucks, and they have packed it in basically at midseason. For whoever decides to go to the Bradley Center, which is not many, to see the Bucks, they certainly aren't seeing a very good product. Particularly those who braved the freezing cold elements to go to that game yesterday. I truly feel bad for Buck fans in Wisconsin. We were having a conversation with somebody yesterday and was talking about whether or not Milwaukee is suited for an NBA team, whether they could support a team, whether players would ever want to come there. And I guess the conclusion that I came to is this. For the Bucks, they'll never be able to entice or attract the elite of the elite. Okay, I'm talking about Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. You know, they may be able to get a Dwayne Wade when he's a lot older, but they're never going to be able to bring in the top tier of guys, the most elite of the elite, Kevin Durant. Now, he was drafted at Oklahoma City. Doesn't mean he wanted to go there, because every time you talk about Milwaukee, everyone brings up the Thunder and say, well, the Thunder can do it, the Bucks can do it. Well, in a sense, maybe. But they drafted Kevin Durant. But those guys, I have come to the conclusion, and I think it's fairly obvious, that nobody of that nature would come to the Bucks. Now, do I think that they could get a second-tier star like Chris Bosh? I think they could attract that. But before they're able to attract that second tier of players who could make a difference, who could compete with the Bulls and probably not the Heat, probably not the Pacers, but a team that could be competitive into a top four seed, they could get players of that caliber. But the first thing they have to do is show some sort of sense and direction, and they have simply not done that with John Hammond at the helm. It just hasn't gone down that way. He seems like the most skittish person on earth. He wakes up one day, decides to change directions. Okay, last year, let's make a trade for J.J. Redick. We'll trade away Tobias Harris and Lamb. We'll bring in J.J. Redick. Why? I don't know. But it sure would be nice to have those two guys, especially Tobias, right? We're going to go young one day. A month later, now we're going to go old. We need to bring in a few veterans. See, I don't think the city of Milwaukee so much is the issue. Now, it would be for those top guys. For Kobe Bryant, the city's an issue. For LeBron, city's an issue. But I don't think it would be for somebody like Chris Bosh. I think if you show an attitude and you become directional and you clearly state where you're trying to go, and your actions follow suit, I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of issues attracting those second-tier guys. I think you'll be able to bring them there. And kind of like it was for the Packers, when Reggie White was there, when Brett Favre was there, for years and years, nobody wanted to come to Green Bay because the organization was bad. And, of course, what are you going to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin? There isn't a whole lot there to entice top athletes who like to go out to the nightclubs and whatever else they do. You just don't get that. But the Packers under Mike Holmgren, Ron Wolf, and a couple of players had a direction in which they were going. And it started to entice others to come as well. That's what the Bucks would need. Something like that. The first, they got to show a sense of direction as to where they want to go. After that, they have to get one star to buy in and come to Milwaukee. That's step number one. And when that happens, we'll talk from there. We'll go on with it. Some news came out today, and if you're a Bucks fan, you may want to keep an eye on this one. Dante Exum declares for the draft. Australian phenom Dante Exum has declared for the 2014 NBA draft. Now, he's expected to go in the top 4 to 5 picks. Obviously, even if the Bucks don't get the number one pick, they will they'll have a top 5. But that may be something to keep an eye on. Would the Bucks need a guard? Would you want them to go after a guard? You got Brandon Knight after you let Brandon Jennings go. Would you want the Bucks to draft a guard? I mean, obviously, I think they're going to be getting Wiggins if they have that number one pick. But would you be looking for this? Just something to keep an eye on. He's 18 years old. Kind of like Giannis. Young guy, foreigner, comes in and hopefully would be able to do something for Milwaukee. But they have a ways to go yet before we're talking about them being in any kind of relevant state. But the real problem here is that they have decided to basically pack it in at this point in the season. That's not good. I found a story here from the Bleacher Report. If I'm able to find it here, pull it up. Yes, the Bleacher Report, 7 late-round sleepers who could make an impact for the Green Bay Packers this year. Now, I'm just going to run through the list quickly for you here before we take a break. And there's one guy, though, that really kind of stands out to me from this list. First guy that they have on the list, Jeff Matthews, a quarterback out of Cornell. May not be bad. Get a little substance, a little more security at the backup quarterback position. Probably not bad. Second guy, Jeremy Gallen, wide receiver out of Michigan. The third guy on their list is actually a Wisconsin Badger, Jacob Pedersen, tight end. Wesley Johnson, offensive tackle from Vanderbilt. Not a bad idea. Not my favorite one. This one is one that stands out to me. And I don't know about this specific player, but I do know about the position. DeAndre Coleman, defensive tackle out of Florida. The writer of the Bleacher Report says, Coleman isn't going to be a versatile defensive lineman should the Packers draft him. Coleman's status as a perfect late-round sleeper is due to his ability against the run. Bingo! You hit that one on the head. Whether it's late round or one of the earlier stages of the draft, the Packers have to do something to shore up that defensive line position. Specifically defensive tackle. Somebody to replace B.J. Raji. If the Packers are able to somehow miraculously do without his one tackle per game this year. But they just don't have it. They don't have anyone who can stop the run. I think back to the year that they won the Super Bowl back in 2010. You had Howard Green. He came in, made a big impact for the Packers. But they just don't have that guy who is able to come in and be a difference maker, at least stopping the run. Now, Mike Daniels had a pretty good season this year. He was able to get in and probably was the Packers' best defensive lineman all season long. I think when you look at the guys, and there are a ton of free agents on the defensive side, I think they're going to be very thin at defensive line. You got a couple of guys who you've drafted, Dayton Jones, Jarrell Worthy, obviously they're going to be back, but a guy like Ryan Pickett, is Ted Thompson going to sign him? Is he going to be back? You know, because he's a few years over 30 now. And you know how Thompson feels about that. And let's be honest here, Pickett didn't do a whole lot to impress this year either. B.J. Raji might as well be gone. So they're going to have some holes to fill at defensive line. Wouldn't mind seeing them draft somebody there. Somebody who has proven that they can stop the run. A couple other guys on this list, two more of them. Ronald Powell, outside linebacker out of Florida, and Ty Zimmerman, free safety at Kansas State. I don't think the Packers could draft enough safeties in this upcoming draft and also sign a free agent. I had to kind of laugh on it. Well, I know Thompson's not going to sign a free agent at safety. not one who will make an impact. That's just not what Ted Thompson does. But I found it somewhat ironic. If you were watching the Pro Bowl on Sunday, which, by the way, Pro Bowl was a lot better. I enjoyed it a little more. But it was ironic. Jarius Byrd, he's a safety for the Buffalo Bills, whose contract is now up. He's a free agent, and he's the guy that everyone has been talking about. The Packers should go out and sign this guy. Thompson, you got to go sign Byrd. And he got hurt in the Pro Bowl. It figures. As soon as somebody starts talking about him coming to the Packers, he gets hurt. You might as well get hurt before you even get on the field, because by the time you make it on the field with this Packer team, you're going to be hurt anyway, unfortunately. We're going to get to some of your tweets coming up in a little bit. Again, at Aaron ESPN 1005. At Aaron ESPN 1005. There was an NFL player poll. You'll be surprised where Mike McCarthy fits in. Also, Packers' five biggest weaknesses going into the offseason. We'll talk about all that and more coming up next. You're listening to AMPM Sports on ESPN 1005.com.